Good morning, and once again, welcome to all whom we have with us. Again, we do have visitors here, and we are honored to have you with us, and we do want to invite you to come back at every chance that you might have while you are in the area. And should you have questions about something that you observe in the way that we worship God or something that I say in this lesson, I would be more than happy to talk with you about that following the services, and if a short answer cannot be provided, perhaps arrangements can be made for further studies if that is a desire. In all things, we are certainly glad that you are here, and we hope that you will stay around for a few moments that we may become better acquainted with one another. It was also mentioned in the announcements that our gospel meeting is rapidly approaching 2 weeks away. As was mentioned by Frank, our flyers are available. And I just simply want to say, you know what to do with the flyers and how to hand those out. And if you need more, let me know. That's the whole point. Or if you need something adapted, such as a smaller form of it, just let me know and I'll be glad to do whatever it is I can to do for that. That having been said, on to the lesson at hand this morning. We continue to study the various one another passages in the New Testament, or some of those passages. Of course, that's a part of our study this year in which we are dealing with the responsibility of Christians toward others, how we are to be proper examples, how we are to serve others, and how we are not only examples to the world, but quite often in Scripture there is an emphasis on the way that we are to treat one another as brethren. And over the course of the past few lessons, that has been our emphasis, and we will continue to examine some of these, what we call one another passages, as they describe the way we are to interact as the children of God. Now, over the course of the past several weeks, we've talked about how we are to have fellowship with one another. We've emphasized the importance of loving one another, being of the same mind toward one another, considering one another, greeting one another, and last week we talked about being kind toward one another. And throughout all of these lessons, we have emphasized various qualities, including the need to bear with one another. That's related to all of these things that we've talked about, kindness and consideration and love. But what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about what that means. What does it mean to bear with one another? And this is really one of those things that it's difficult to do in many instances, but yet it is oh so important if we want to be the body that God intends for us to be as His church. So let's go ahead and get started dealing with that particular, or this particular study here. And we're going to actually be looking at two different passages and two different words dealing with what it means to bear with one another. First of all, we want to note that this term bear, that is used in our text in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 2, is from a Greek word that means to regard with tolerance, or to endure, or if you will, to put up with something. And that's really the idea of what is associated with it. The King James uses the word forbearing. And that just kind of gives us the idea of we're dealing with something. And ideally the implication is you have a circumstance that maybe it's less than ideal. You desire that things be better than they actually are. Now, one of the things that I want to observe as we talk about this word is when we think about the idea of putting up with one another, or even the idea of tolerating something or someone, at the same time, when I think about the life of a Christian, certainly our motives ought not to be simply because God says that I got to put up with you. That doesn't need to be the attitude. It needs to be based upon a proper motive. We want to bear with one another because that's what God wants us to do. And we want to bear with one another because we are a family and because we do love each other. Let that be the motivation behind our controlling ourselves, if you will. And I want to give some examples of this as we go through this particular lesson here. To give us a little more of an idea of what's related to this particular word, to bear with one another, it's actually used about 8 or 10 times in the New Testament. And some passages where you might find it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse number 12, where Paul is here describing his own life and some of the things that he is dealing with there. And he makes the point that we labor working with our hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Or we bear. We tolerate. We put up with. We don't quit simply because we are being persecuted. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse number 1, and we find here a passage and also a book where Paul uses some literary devices as we describe them. Perhaps there's a little bit of sarcasm in the point that Paul is making in this particular text where he says, "Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly. Put up with this for just a few minutes. As I talk to you about some of the things that I have had to endure in my life and various things associated with that. Bear with me a little bit. Endure." And of course we think about that as we talk about enduring with one another. Not the sarcasm, but the idea of bearing with. Of being willing to sit back and patiently listen. You ever hear somebody say something like that, they want to explain something and they make some kind of a statement that sounds a little bit outlandish and you're ready to put your hands up and they say, "Just bear with me a minute. You know, be patient. Let me explain what I'm trying to say." Well, that's got the flavor of this word that's talking about us bearing with one another. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul tells Timothy to preach the word, to reprove or convince, rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering. And he says, you do this because the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, having itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Paul gives the warning there that the time is coming when they're not going to bear the truth anymore. They're not going to tolerate. They're not going to put up with. They're not going to endure with the truth because they have itching ears and they want somebody to entertain them and tell them what they want to hear. We talked a little bit about that in class this morning. And then finally, you have Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse number 22, where Paul says, "I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words." He challenges them to bear with or to basically, he's saying, endure that which I'm telling you. Endure these exhortations. And this is in a letter where he's dealing with brethren similar to what we're talking about in the book of Galatians, where there are brethren who are considering the old law, either returning to the old law or turning to the old law and following some of its precepts. And Paul says, consider these things that I'm saying to you. Now, he's not saying to put up with them or to tolerate them, other than to say, consider them and endure them and do that which you ought to do. So all of that is related to this word, bear, as we talk about bearing with one another. If you were to actually describe it, it's the idea of patience. And it's the idea of endurance as we deal with one another. Because you see, in reality, we need to remind ourselves, and we've talked about this in great detail, and that is we're a family. We are a spiritual family. And there are numerous passages of Scripture that make comparison between physical families and spiritual families. Not only are we described as brethren and God is our Father and we are His children and things such as that. In passages such as Ephesians chapter 5, Paul makes a direct comparison between Christ and His church to the relationship of a husband and his wife. And he talks about things that are there when a family and a relationship is what it ought to be. Now, when we think about this physically, families love each other. And I understand, I'm talking about the way that things ought to be in the typical family. You know, typically parents, mothers and fathers love their children. Typically children love their parents. They love each other. But the truth is while they love each other, They have quirks. They have idiosyncrasies, which means differences. In other words, they're different people, and they have things that irritate each other. Anybody who's been married for any length of time knows exactly what I'm talking about. A husband and a wife, there are little oddities and little odds and ends that your spouse wishes you would quit or maybe adapt your behavior. And there are those, and you realize there are things that annoy your spouse, and so you try to deal with those things so that you won't be quite as annoying, if you will, and you do those things out of love. The same thing with parents and children. Parents love their children even when they're being disobedient. You know, even when they're going through, you know, sometimes you describe the phases and those types of things. Well, you know, that's not just true of physical families. But the truth is when physical families deal with these things, typically they don't drive them apart. Typically they don't, you know, I mean, a parent, because she doesn't like the way a child is behaving, doesn't throw them out of the house. Or a husband and wife, you know, a husband who, or a wife who sees some flaws in her husband and all of a sudden they separate. Now, sadly, it happens more often than it ought to. But the truth is most people work through those things and they bear with their differences. I want you to keep that in mind when we think about bearing with one another as brethren. Because you see, again, we are the family of God. And the truth is as the family of God, we are a part of the body of Christ. We are a part of the church which belongs to Christ. And we know that the church is the people who make up that body. And when we study the scriptures, we find that God's pattern for the church is perfect. And we understand that. And while what the church is as it's described in the scriptures is perfect, the truth is that it is filled with people who are imperfect. People who have quirks. People who have flaws. And idiosyncrasies. Sometimes, within the Lord's body, things get a little bit messy as we are dealing with one another. There are personality clashes. There are individuals who are difficult to deal with. Or they're just different than you are in some way. They do things differently. They approach solving problems differently. There are people that have flaws, whether it's attitude or it's actions. There are some who have bitter dispositions about there. There are some who are sulky. There are some who seem to be prideful in themselves. And while those things need to be dealt with and addressed, you know, if it's a sinful behavior, it needs to be addressed. The truth is there are people just that they're human, and they have these qualities about them. And in addition to that, Christians have bad days. You ever notice that? You know, it's not perfect every day as we go about our lives. Also, there are some that are more selfish than they ought to be. There are some who are overly critical about other individuals. There are some who, while well-meaning, are not as tactful as you would like for them to be in dealing with some particular type of circumstance. There are brethren who are struggling with weaknesses. There are brethren who are struggling with sins and seeking to overcome those things in their lives. There are brethren who will disagree with you as you're talking about various subjects. And sometimes those disagreements can become heated. And maybe proper attitudes are not prevalent as we are disagreeing with others. Sometimes we just don't treat each other as nicely as we ought to. There are those that don't like certain songs. There are those who only want certain songs. You could just keep going down the list of these types of individuals. There are some that are demanding when it comes to getting their way, and they expect it to be their way. And right or wrong, such things are a reality. And honestly, some are able to handle and suppress difficulties better than others. Some are impatient when it comes to dealing with others' quirks and with others' differences. I know I spent a lot of time describing some circumstances here, and I did that because I want us to understand, to maintain our spiritual family, we have to bear with one another. We just have to learn to do that. That's what we are told in Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, in a passage where Paul is dealing with the subject of unity, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." We're going to talk about some of the things in this passage as we talk about bearing with one another. But Paul is calling for unity, and he is challenging these brethren to bear with one another. In Colossians chapter 3, and in verse number 13, we read there, Paul says, beginning in verse 12, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." So here in two different passages, Paul gives us this command that we are to be bearing with one another. We are to, if you will, put up with each other. Tolerate one another. Endure one another. And obviously, he's not talking about during the perfect times. He's talking about doing it at all times. You know, there's some great examples of bearing with one another in Scriptures. As always, one of the best examples of some of these things is our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I mean, you study the Gospels and you study the apostles and the disciples. And some of the things that Jesus had to put up with, you know, in trying to train them. Over and over and over, He would emphasize the nature of His kingdom. And over, they wouldn't get it. He would talk about humility. He would talk about serving one another. They knew that He was the Son of God, and they were willing to confess that. But you find them, even as we approach the time when Jesus is to be crucified, they're arguing among themselves who is the greatest. You know, the mother of James and John comes up to Jesus and asks Him to do a favor. You know, "Let my son sit on your right hand and your left hand." They didn't get the nature of the kingdom. And not only that, she wanted her sons to take precedence over everybody else. And the rest of them became indignant about it. After the Mount of Transfiguration, as recorded in Matthew 17, and that's the verse here, we find that Peter, James, and John with Jesus come down from the mountain, and there's a commotion going on. And the reason is there was a man whose son had a demon, and they were unable to cast that demon out. And I want you to notice in Matthew 17 and in verse number 17, Jesus, as He is speaking, and He makes the point there in that text, He says, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring the child to me." And He casts the demon out. He goes on and explains that this was a challenge, but He made the point, it's your faith. It is your faith is why you couldn't cast it out. So here Jesus has His apostles and His disciples, and they're not perfect. And they don't get everything that He says. It's like they're not paying attention. And Jesus doesn't just throw up His hands and say, "What's the use?" He bears with them. There you have a great example of what it means to bear with one another. Another example similar to this, or well, not similar to Jesus, but another example in Scripture is that of Paul. Again, when you study the letters of Paul, the various epistles that he writes to these brethren, most of them, they got problems. And he's dealing with these problems. And he's dealing with brethren who ought to know better. I mean, we've started studying the book of Galatians, and Paul, just after giving a cursory greeting, immediately begins to rebuke them. Because they're thinking about following after a false gospel. But he's not giving up on them. He writes to them with the hopes that they will change. The First Corinthian letter that we just finished studying, the problems that those brethren had, Paul bore with them. He was bearing with these brethren. And one thing you find about Paul is he continually bears with these brethren. And he bore with many things. He bore persecutions, as you read in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 12. But you know, in spite of all this, Paul never stopped caring about his brethren. You know, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we find here a passage where Paul is dealing with some of the things that he had to endure for the sake of the gospel. And one of the points he makes there in verse number 28, as he talks about everything that he endures, he says, besides the other things, that which comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. In spite of their troubles, Paul cares about them. He's not going to give up on them. He's going to do everything he can to be there with them and for them. You know, I'm reminded of the letter written to the Philippians in chapter 1 and beginning in about verse number 21. This is where Paul talks about what he really wants to do. He says here in this verse here, for me to live is Christ, or for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, with everything that Paul is enduring, he's ready to die. He's ready to end the sufferings of this earth and go be with God and not have to deal with it anymore. But he goes on and says in verse number 22, if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and the joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Paul says, I want to depart and be with the Lord, but to remain is beneficial for you. And so Paul is saying, you know what? If it will help you, I'm willing to put up with the beatings and being stoned to death. I'm willing to put up with being reviled and discredited and hated. I'm willing to put up being hungry and not having a place to sleep at times. I'm willing to put up with all of that. I'm willing to bear whatever is necessary for your sakes. May you find a great example of what it means to bear with one another. Now, what is involved in bearing with one another? Well, first of all, it involves the idea of patience. The very word itself is a word that means to be patient toward one another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse number 14, Paul says to the brethren here, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Paul says be patient with everybody, but I want you to note that that would include those who you are warning because they're unruly. It would include the faint-hearted. It would include the weak. Be patient with them. It's very much related to the idea of this word, bearing with one another. Bearing with one another requires that we love one another. It's very much related to the idea of this love. You know, we've emphasized love in times past, and that's because it's at the foundation of the attitude that will cause us to treat each other the way that we ought to. In 1 Peter chapter 4, and in verse number 8, Paul there says, "Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." And I'll tell you, that passage is not saying that you're ignoring sin. It's not saying that you're ignoring sin in somebody else's lives. It says you're doing what you need to do to help them deal with those sins, to help them overcome whatever that sinful behavior or attitude might be. You love them and you bear with them so that they can overcome whatever is involved in that. When you look at the description of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse number 4, Paul begins by describing love, saying love suffers long, or love is patient. And that's the type of patience that we need. When we're bearing with one another, we're going to suffer long. And he goes on down in verse number 7, and he says of this love that it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now the word for bear in that verse is a different word, which we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes here. But it's the idea of when you love somebody, you bear, you endure, and you help them deal with whatever it is that they are struggling with. If we are bearing with one another, it's going to be out of a love for one another. And that's what's going to cause us to be willing to deal with these differences. Bearing with one another involves work. It involves working at it. Again, you go back to the text that we began with in Ephesians chapter 4, where he talks about how there that we bear with one another in love. And then he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You're endeavoring. That word endeavoring is a word that means to work at hard. It's to put forth great and intense effort. And I will tell you right now that when you know, when you look at life, it's easy sometimes to love those when they're lovable. You know, it's easy when everything's going great and you're getting along with each other and there's no disagreement. You know, it's easy to love and it's easy to bear with them. What about those other times? What about those things that we've described here in this lesson thus far? It becomes a little more challenging, does it? You know, when somebody's being difficult, for you to maintain your composure rather than to respond in kind to unkind words, that takes work. And for some, it takes more work than others. There are those who have a disposition, a tendency to become angry. You got to work at it. Bearing with one another is not always easy, but it can be done. But the desire has to be there. In addition to that, bearing with one another requires a willingness to deal with whatever the circumstances are. And sometimes that's what we need to be doing. Like so many things, we have to make up our mind what type of a mind we're going to have. You know, how you put up with your brethren, if you will, it's a mindset. You determine ahead of time, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to behave. And you know, I think of Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, where Paul says, you know, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's the idea of, you know, we want to get along with our brethren, so we're going to deal with these things. And I'm going to deal with my attitude to the best of my ability. You know, in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse number 1, where Paul there talks about one overtaken in a trespass, he says, "You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." You think about yourself. You may not be able to control the attitude of the other person, but you can control your attitude. And you can control where the situation is going to go based upon your response. So that's a part of bearing with one another. Bearing with one another also involves a willingness to forgive. Again, going back to Colossians chapter 3, which we read toward the beginning of this lesson, where Paul talks about you bear with one another and you forgive one another. Forgiving one another is a big part associated with bearing one another. We need to be willing to forgive each other. And perhaps at a later date we're going to emphasize this in greater detail, because we have to understand it. We need to remind ourselves of what it means to forgive one another. And forgiveness, again, it's not just about the good times. It's about when the things are difficult. You know, forgiving one another implies that something has been done, maybe against you. The willingness to forgive them is there because you're bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there you have the idea of bearing with one another. But that brings me to another passage and another word that I want to address. And this is found in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse number 2. Just a moment ago we read from verse number 1, where you who are spiritual, you restore the one who is overtaken in a trespass with a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. But then in verse number 2, Paul says, bear one another's burdens. And you go down into verse number 5, he says, each one shall bear his own load, or I think the King James uses the word burden there also. And this is an interesting passage. And the first thing that we need to understand when we're told to bear one another's burdens is it's a different Greek word than the word found in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 2. This is a Greek word that means to endure, but it's more along the ideas of to carry something. You know, to pick something up, to lift it up. And typically it's dealing with you carry or you endure something that is unpleasant or difficult, whether it be for yourself or whether it be for others. You know, there's some good examples of this. For example, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, John there is speaking about how he baptizes with water, but he says, there's somebody coming whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. You know, whose sandal I am not worthy to carry. And that's the same word that you find here in Galatians 6 and 2 for bear. I'm not worthy to carry my Lord's sandal, is the point that he is making there. In Matthew 20 and verse number 12, Jesus, in the midst of a parable, talks about those who had borne or carried the burden of the day, as opposed to those who had only worked for an hour and they received the same wages because of the love of the master, the vineyard keeper. In Luke chapter 14 and in verse number 27, this is where you start making application to this. In Luke chapter 14 and in verse number 27, Jesus there says that we have to bear our own cross. He makes the point in that verse where he says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And that is this word found in Galatians 6 too. I mean, pick up this cross and follow after him. This is the same word that you find in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, where we're told each one of us shall bear his own load. And Romans 15 and in verse number 1, where Paul says, we who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, or the weaknesses of the weak. Now, it's kind of interesting in chapter 6 verses 2 and 5, the difference that is there. You know, why is it that in verse number 5 he tells us we have to bear our own load, but in verse number 2 he tells us to help each other bear our loads? Well, the truth is while the word bear is the same word, and it means carry, the words for load are two different words, or burden. The one word, the one that is used in verse number 5, is talking about a personal load. It's talking about a lighter load. It's talking about something that you can carry by yourself. You know, anybody who goes hiking and so on, they have a backpack that they pick up and put it on themselves. It's their own personal items. And you know, when it comes to our faith, there are certain things that nobody can do for you. And that's your personal load. Nobody can carry it for you. You have to do it yourself. When it comes to your attitude, nobody can adjust your attitude for you. You have to adjust your attitude for yourself. When it comes to your responsibility to learn, nobody can learn it for you. You have to study the Word of God for yourself. That's your own load. Your own burden that you're expected to bear. But at the same time, in verse number 2, that word for burden that is used there is talking about a heavy load. Something that's difficult to carry. Something that is a challenge. And it's something that somebody could use help with. You know how we talk about encouraging one another and exhorting one another and being there for one another? That's that load. When a brother is struggling with something and they need your prayers and they need your strength and your encouragement, maybe they need you to help lift them up. Maybe they actually need you to physically do something for them or with them because they can't do it by themselves. You bear their burden with them. And notice how he says, you bear one another's burdens. We are there as a family. We see that brother struggling and we reach over, lift him up, and we help him lift up whatever it is that he's struggling to pick up. That's bearing one another's burdens. And you know, as I pointed out, while this is a different word than the first one that we talked about, I want you to think about this. We bear with one another because we have differences. There's one of two ways that we can deal with that. We can either be critical and harsh toward them and complain about them and complain about how they're different than we are and complain about how we don't like the way they're doing something. We don't like their attitude. We don't like this. We don't like that. And we can gripe about it all day long and be miserable ourselves. Or maybe we can try to help them deal with whatever it is that they're struggling with. That's bearing one another's burden as we bear with one another. And honestly, that's the attitude that we need to have as Christians. So that's just what I want us to think about today in this lesson. As the family of God, it is important that we act like a family of God. And that's even when we're not the same. Let us resolve to bear one another, to bear with one another, even as God bears with us. Think about it. The lesson is yours. At this time, open your songbooks to number 604. I Am Coming, Lord. At each service, we offer an invitation. If there is somebody who is in need of responding to the gospel, you need to do that while you have opportunity. If you've never obeyed the gospel and you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, repent of your sin and resolve that you're going to follow after Him. Confess Him as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. The very thing that Peter taught on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. We're ready to help you become a Christian if that is your need. And if you are a child of God and you have not been living true to His Word, As the magician was told in Acts 8, repent and pray for forgiveness. In 1 John 1 and verse 9, you confess your trespasses to God and you pray and He will forgive you. If in some way you need to, as a part of your repentance, to publicly acknowledge sin, or if you just need the prayers of the brethren, we're here. Whatever your need is,